Welcome back, loves. Thank you for tuning in or streaming or downloading Blooming Out on WFHB 91.3 FM in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm Melanie Davis.
And I'm Justin Robertson.
And Justin said I'm doing the whole show on my own today. He's on strike.
I am on strike. No. Well, I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah.
I didn't mean it.
Oh, yes, okay.
I'm here with you.
Yay!
But only in spirit.
Cal is not here. Cal is not feeling well. So
I know. I feel so bad.
But you know.
I miss Cal. But
heal well. Come back to us.
Absolutely.
Come back,
Cal. We're thinking of you. We're missing you. And get better.
Right.
Yeah.
Get better. Wow. Jeez. Like, if you want to. That's
yeah. Melanie, we always have that thing like, have a good show. And you're like, I'll have a good show if I want to. But then I did that to you today.
So, yeah.
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 But I'm having a good show.
You're feeling salty.
Feeling salty. Yeah. But it's because you played Lily Allen for me. And we can't even talk about that.
No, we can.
On the radio.
We just can't say the word.
I know. But it's really hard to talk about things when you can't say the word. That just drives me crazy.
We can mime it.
That's very easy to do.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay, so the news isn't all that bad. We have good news.
It's not all that bad, but this, you know, the next Benedict thing just gets, I don't know, it's really affecting me hard. Like the Shepherd, you know, Matt Shepherd. I don't know. I just don't know why people are so cruel and mean and why we have to be this way, because our society does not need to be killing young people.
Not at all. And not making excuses for it and not making – well, the Advocate, that article that you brought up, the Advocate was talking about what the coroner's report said about it being self-inflicted and poisoned with – medication, you know, and which the medications used, and we won't go into them on air. It's just horrid to think about somebody getting to that point, having been there, you know. I was talking with somebody earlier today, a young person who grew up in the East Coast, the Southern East Coast, and we were talking about how times have changed a bit, not entirely, but things have been getting better over the past few decades.
Sometimes and in some ways, yes.
And sometimes and in some ways. And, well, I mean, you know, even kids down here in Southern Indiana, I know a lot who've been able to live their lives authentically, right? You know, and there's more awareness, there's more understanding, there's more acceptance in a lot
Absolutely,
of places.
Absolutely, but then as we've talked about, there's all this legislation that's trying not to have that,
right.
You know, and
which is pushing the narrative, and we've got some stories on that later too. Yeah. However, I mean, Veronica Pedro last week, on the show.
Oh, fabulous!
Like,
how about
I couldn't imagine 10 years ago,
absolutely,
her being able to run and
no, that was really uplifting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, she is. I mean, she's got that kind of attitude and energy.
Mm-hmm.
So refreshing, and also such an indication of how far we have come. And yes, we still have a lot more to go, but just how far we can be, you know, that's the other thing, is like, we don't have to regress. We don't have to go back.
No.
This doesn't have to be something that is, that any person, child, especially, should have to feel that there's no place for them, anymore. Like,
absolutely not. But that's why I've always just been bewildered by these people that want to bring this community down. Is it a power trip? There's no one simple answer.
Right.
But it's like, leave the kids alone. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Support them. But the people that are supporting them are being called groomers. Right. And
yeah. Yeah. By who though? Actually, by people who are themselves. Well, we'll get into that too.
Exactly. No, that's the thing. So that's another thing.
It all ties.
But that's another thing, is sort of, it's a fetish for them, right? Everything is sort of sexualized.
I always said, like, going back into high school, Nobody thinks more about gay sex than straight people. It's like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Or straight people with air quotes, you know?
Exactly.
But honestly, that seems to be the narrative and what they work on. The working hypothesis is everything is about sexualization. And
yes.
Don't take into account lives and attraction and love. And, you know, maybe those people don't experience things like, you know, romantic love or just being together and, you know, sharing or any of that. Maybe it's all right. Just procreation and recreation.
Well, then, Molly, we need to take it down. We need to start laws against them. We need to start beating them up in the street. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, this is the thing. Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't have these feelings.
Living
towards
them. Does not condone any of them.
I'm not obsessed with their sexuality or their identity.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either. And they can do whatever they want.
I mean, I assume as long as I assume that they do adult type things, and that's great.
Maybe. Maybe they don't. Maybe that's the problem.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that is. But honestly, it is like you said, a fetish. It seems to be something that they just can't
stop thinking about.
And yeah. And I wish I had an answer for that.
You know what, though? This reminds me of what you were talking about with was the statistics on Pornhub or one of the channels about where all of
So I mean, okay. So we're gonna jump to that, aren't we? Okay.
Sure, because I think it sort of ties in.
So Pornhub pulled out of Texas.
Okay.
Are you collected?
I'm trying.
Okay. So it was House Bill 1181 last year in Texas. It's passed by lawmakers, requires adult websites to, and this might sound familiar, to use reasonable age verification methods, quote unquote, whatever those may be, such as government ID, to ensure users who are accessing explicit content are aged 18 and older.
A government ID.
Well, I mean, such as. It could be something else, too. Like, you could send in, like, a tree ring sample of yourself. Like, if you, I don't know. I don't know how else that they would verify age. Yeah. That would be easy. But also, the law doesn't specify any certain way that any of this information has to be handled. Right. So they would want you to turn in your government ID to scan it, take a photo of it or whatever, and send it to Pornhub or one of its affiliates and then be registered in that way.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you who have little kids around, sorry, that was going to use other wording, and then I forgot.
For adult sites. Adult Hub.
But this in particular, this group, Adult Hub. That was slick. Yes, and there are laws in the books already protecting children from this kind of material, right? But what these laws, because this isn't just the only one, there are others, what these laws are intending to do, and if you listen to the way that they're worded, they're intended to protect children against material, quote, material harmful to minors. And we covered this a little bit last week. Mm-hmm. What does material harmful to minors mean? Well, it's being used to include all types of LGBTQ expression.
Right. Has nothing to do with the sex act.
Right. But it does in that they assume that anything that has to do with LGBTQ people
is sexual.
Is sexual.
Right.
Exactly. We can't walk down the street. Right. We can't, you know, drag is sexual. All this stuff is sexual. Going to Hooters, though, well, that's just going out for some food, right? Yeah.
Just want a burger.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is that what they serve there?
I don't know.
Huh. We should go.
I did have a roommate that worked there.
Really?
Yeah, back when I was in my early 20s, 21, 22. Yeah.
Aww.
She was a hoot.
Did you use that joke? Have you been waiting all this time to use that joke again?
Probably. I forgot about that joke.
Well, well played.
I forgot about the whole thing, really.
Wow. But truly, you know, these are things that we've encountered in other states where Tennessee, Florida, of course, where they have tried to outlaw material harmful to minors, and then they just apply it willy-nilly across the board, right?
Right.
And that includes just trans people being out in public.
Right. So it goes from adult hub to being in public.
Yeah. And this is language like this is what they've used to ban pride.
Right.
Because children might see a pride event, and that's just wrong. So it's not just this specific thing. This is it ties into other. It's a buildup, right? They're building something. They're building an argument. They're building structures, legal structures, in order to erase our public presence, which is what that whole Project 2025 thing was on about. And apparently in some places they're doing a pretty good job. However, there are people who are pushing back. Again, no pun intended. It's important because in Indiana we passed... Thank you. In Indiana we passed... See, if I can make Justin laugh, people, that... He's, okay. You are so sad. And now, yeah. In Indiana, we passed this law last year. So this year, sorry. And it's going into effect.
Which law?
The material harmful to minors law.
But it's not well defined. I mean, that's, I think exactly. We talked about, like, yeah,
it's not well, it's exactly, just like in Texas, it's not well defined. Just like in Florida, it wasn't right. well defined.
It's not like this is just pornography.
It could be
we're talking about
any of us.
It could be
PDA.
And Tango Makes Three.
Yeah,
is it? I'm correct. That's the one about the penguins.
The penguins,
two male penguins that had a baby. True story. That is not on Adult Hub.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope not. Gosh. but anyway,
to get your subscription back.
So, I mean, there are ways to get around it if you're an adult and you don't want to register and all that stuff, and you get a VPN, virtual private network. You just set it up online, and then they can't track you. They can't tell where you're from. You can tell it you're in Bangladesh, literally, and it will be like, okay.
But isn't there something you were talking about?
And your kids know this. I mean, the kids know this stuff. So it's not like it's actually doing anything to protect children any better.
No.
If you want to protect kids, be aware of what the kids are doing on their computers. You know, be aware of what they're accessing.
Well, again, with everything we have going on in the world, certain people are concentrating on things that are not really the problem.
Right. Right. And they're making more.
Right.
Yeah. In a related thing, and this is what we're getting to, in a 2002 study that just came out, it showed that conservative-led areas of the country have the highest number of searches for transgender adult material.
Right. So all these places that are making all these House bills and stuff against transgender people or whatever, or where people are mostly sexualizing.
Yes.
Yeah.
The top five most transgender-obsessed states are...
Drum roll, please.
Texas.
No.
Uh-huh. Georgia. Kentucky. Missouri, Kansas, and Virginia.
I'm really surprised that Florida's not there.
Right? Well, I mean, maybe they have all kinds of other proclivities. Who knows?
Maybe, yeah.
Gator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manatee. I don't know what those kinds of people think about.
Now you're manatee splaining to me.
Are you calling me a manatee? That's pretty close to true.
I'm not calling you a manatee.
The top five metro areas most obsessed with that adult material are Wichita Falls, Lawton, Oklahoma. They both tied for first, so Texas and Oklahoma. Atlanta, Georgia, Denver, Colorado, Nashville, Tennessee, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So those not exactly falling in with the states, but yeah, also... Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. I can't help but feel a little bit of hubris about that. I mean, I just think it's funny. Maybe hubris is not the right word. What is it?
It is funny. It's also sad because of, you know, these people have obviously a certain fascination.
Right.
They aren't pursuing it in a healthy sort of way, you know? That's not the way to do it. And then obviously there's something behind that that is making them uncomfortable. And we have these types of laws popping up in these states and these places in particular to restrict the object of their desire.
Right. And that's what I find
ardor.
Funny. Because they have an unnatural obsession, if you will, that they want to somehow... They feel bad about, so they need to
end it. I was upset when I was just toe-tapping in an airport bathroom. And do you remember all that? That was back in the 90s.
Yes. Yeah.
Early 2000s. It was bad enough then.
Yeah, and that was... the reason I was making that face is I do remember, but I could not... I can't remember who that was. I can't remember if it was a politician or a judge or something, but it was a conservative.
Yeah.
I do remember that, and a fairly well-known one who was very against the LGBTQ community, spoke out against it, spoke out. We didn't even have gay marriage then, but, you know,
right.
Once again, it was like no rights for LGBTQ people. And then he was having hookups in airport restrooms.
Right. And
with men.
Right. And he wasn't the only one. I mean, this is a pattern that goes back.
So it's like their own problems or desires or whatever just shouldn't be the world's problem.
It's shame.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just shame. They feel shame for having attraction. They feel shame for these things. And that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's sad that they should feel that way. It's sad that they should have to feel that they need to overcompensate.
Mm-hmm.
By creating a problem for somebody else.
Yeah.
If I destroy it, then I won't be attracted to it anymore.
Absolutely.
If I can create a boogeyman out of it, then I won't have to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, accept who you are.
Right.
But the way that certain cultures treat it within this country and everywhere else, they can't. They just... aren't allowed to just accept themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to change. If you choose to live a certain way, that's fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to live by certain tenets, that's fine. But those stay with you. And to voice them as a problem mm-hmm. upon somebody else is just unacceptable.
And no, I totally agree. It's the same with religion. I believe in freedom of religion. Have mm-hmm. your own beliefs. You know, have, you know, what makes you feel strong. But to push it on other people is not okay. Or to say that people who aren't like you with those beliefs aren't worthy of God or spiritualism or good things, that's
people
not okay.
People rights.
Right.
You know,
and that's interesting to me because they say that, you know, the LGBTQ community is pushing their agenda. Mm-hmm. And that's just absolutely ridiculous. And once again, it's projecting.
Exactly.
And I don't understand how they don't see that when they're pushing, especially with the evangelicals, they're pushing that stuff on society by making rules for schools and all of this stuff, and then saying that everybody else who is trying to be democratic is grooming.
Right.
When the grooming is actually happening mostly from the religious right.
Right. But that's okay because they're supposed to. I mean, they're supposed to... create a world that is, in their worldview, correct. Of course. But it's actually not. It doesn't have a basis in scripture or anything. We talk about that a lot. But the problems that it does cause, the pain and everything that it creates is so far spread beyond just mm-hmm. themselves.
As you said, destruction and death.
Yeah.
In the case of Nex.
Well, in the case of so many of us, I mean,
right.
It's not just
right.
a...
No, I'm...
Nex is emblematic.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But there have been so many things specifically around Nex's passing that also tie in with other people. You know, I do the Trans Day of Remembrance mm-hmm. every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories...
Thank you for doing that.
I mean, it has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
The stories sound very much the same a lot of the times. And that's horrible. The reasons why people do the terrible things they do. The reasons why people feel that they don't have a choice but to do the worst to themselves are nearly all the same. And we haven't really investigated that on a social, societal level. It's, you know, well, that's this group's problem, but it's really a social problem. It affects so many. And why can't we tackle that as a public health issue?
Absolutely. And it is.
Yeah. It needs to be. Because people shouldn't feel like that. People shouldn't feel that they don't have a place, that they're not valued, that they're not whole, that they're broken and wrong, and that they'll never find acceptance or love. That you shouldn't feel that way at all. And definitely not in this society. And people are, again, more open, right? People are more open to living as themselves. So there's this pushback against that. But the tide's still rising. I mean, you can take the bucket and throw it back out to sea as much as you want, but the tide's still coming in. That's one of the good things that we had to talk about, was that more and more people are feeling open to being themselves, right? I don't know if we touched on this last time. I wanted to. Okay, there are conflicting reports, and I think it depends on which populations you're talking to.
Sure.
It says one has 10% of Americans are having sex with partners of both sexes, a recent study finds. So 10% of people are bi. Wow.
That's, like that Moms for Liberty leader.
Right. But these are people who are admitting to it, you know? So the general social survey, it's a sociological survey, started in the early 70s by the National Opinion Research Center at University of Chicago. And it's a tool for measuring social change. The data came from over 32,000 respondents. So it's a pretty decent number. They followed up with the same people year after year, with new people added each year in waves. And of the approximately 2,300 people surveyed in the 2021 sample, 9.6% of people reported having had both male and female sexual partners, up from about 3.1%.
That's a big leap.
In the late 80s and early 90s. Mm-hmm. The years I was in high school, actually. Right.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, it's very interesting. But it's also, how true is it in terms of, there's probably a lot of people not admitting this. I mean, certainly in the 1980s and 90s, there are probably more people.
Right. I had somebody who just admitted to me, you know, and we've been talking for years and years, that they had had a relationship.
Yeah.
With same-sex relationship. And they just didn't, you know, connect, didn't feel that they wanted to continue on with it, but they had it.
And you know, of course, when you're younger, in college or whatever, it's always the experimentation or whatever. I don't know.
Right. But it's a thing.
These and numbers, I do believe, are indicative that people are more open about it and more honest. Yeah.
They're feeling the ability to say it more, admit it more easily.
And it's probably because they're feeling more comfortable in their culture, which is where that backlash is coming from, right?
Yeah. And I've always thought bisexuality was probably more common than... Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's more common than being straight, but being exclusively homosexual. I hate using that term. It seems so clinical. It's like, I should have, like, rubber gloves on or something and that little reflector.
Well, I really do think that Kenzie was right. You know, someone years ago, back in the 40s, when...
10% rule.
He realized that, you know, it's a scale.
Yeah.
And people aren't always on the same place in the scale throughout their life.
Right.
It can change depending on, you know, who you are as you grow up, who you develop strong bonds with.
It's sexuality is a lot more fluid, I think.
Yes, exactly.
And we still don't fully... really,
and even our
it.
Community, I think.
Yeah.
Thinks, you know, I mean, I always feel like the gay community in particular, I can't really speak for any others, is always like, oh, you're a this and a that, or and you have to be a this or a that, or, a, you know, and it's just sort of like, well, I don't know. That pigeonholing drives me crazy.
Right.
In anything.
Well, I mean, remember back in the days, there was like, you know, there were no bisexual people. There were just people that hadn't made a commitment.
Right,
yet.
Exactly. No, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh, you just haven't made, you just haven't like jumped all in.
Right.
And again, it's a matter of trying to put other people into your cohort.
Yeah. Like, where yeah. you feel, where you want them to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I find one thing I love about this younger generation, in particular Generation Z, is I just feel like they seem so open. You know what I mean? I mm-hmm. think that they're just sort of like, no, I am what I am.
Well, and that you know? Gets to the next thing. There's another survey, and this one was put out by Gallup, found that 7.6% of Americans as a whole identified as LGBTQ+. That's all the generations. Mm-hmm. But when you break it down to the different generations, Gen Z is almost 1 in 5.
Yeah, right?
So,
I mean, that's like...
that's 20%. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it decreases as you go back.
I was surprised at how low Generation X was, our generation, but
I'm not.
Maybe not.
having been through school with all of those people, all of our generation, there was still a lot of shame and a lot of pain.
Yeah, that's too bad. I didn't have that experience, but I know that that's rare.
Right.
So...
Yeah, and then there was another one that came out that said almost 30% of Gen Z women identify as LGBTQ+. So, again...
30%?
30% of Gen Z women identify as... Again, how these develop and play out and how this mushes around is really interesting. We'll hear more about it.
Yeah.
But let's take a break for the midpoint today. Willkommen back, folks.
Hello.
Hi.
You're with Justin and Melanie on Blooming Out.
WFHB 91.3 FM, Bloomington, Indiana.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh. Justin, are you on something? Are you like a little caffeine yourself? Did you have
No,
sugar?
I need some caffeine, oh, is but that I don't like to drink it after 2, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's before 2 somewhere.
That's true.
See?
That's true. Yeah. So we've covered a lot of ground. What else do you got here?
So we were talking about Next.
Next Benedict.
Yeah. And Chaya Rychek and her influence on that whole situation. And not just that one, but other ones around the country.
I don't even know if I want to hear what she was saying about that.
Well, not that in particular, but this is a new thing. So her Libs of TikTok account pulled up a picture from 2022 of an educator, actually a assistant principal at Butler Middle School in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And the post included a screenshot of this person, Jeffrey Teague, the assistant principal's Facebook page, and had a photo of him and his partner, and they were wearing rainbow face masks. It was 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
He posted it with the words, "Acceptance, equality, and inclusion should be cornerstones of our schools."
Absolutely.
I mean, right?
That's what a democracy does, people.
And that was in reference to an earlier post that he had where he said, "The purpose of a public education is in a public school is not to teach kids only what parents want them to be taught. It's to teach them what society needs them to know."
And that's true, too.
How to be good citizens.
Yes.
How to work with each other. How to get along in society. They have classrooms for people who just want to teach their kids just what they want their kids to know. And that's their living rooms. You know, you can take your kids out of school. You can teach them how to be Unabombers in the middle of nowhere if you wanted. Not that I actually know anybody who's done that, but I know there are a lot of people who don't agree with public schools. That's fine. I wanted to homeschool Katrina. Because I was dissatisfied with the way that the public school systems in Indiana were being legislated into. The education was being narrowed down. Mm-hmm. Teachers weren't allowed to use their education.
It's not a holistic approach at all anymore.
No.
It's all about testing. And that's my problem with it.
So apart from my quip about homeschooling, I believe in homeschooling. I think that's an actual thing. If you want your kids to learn that stuff, do that. But I want a holistic kind of education. I want the education that I had growing up. Mm-hmm. It was public and it was open. And we talked about all kinds of things that today are on the chopping block. And that was back in the early 80s. You know?
Oh, no, it's I mean, that's where, you know, when people talk about things are so much better now or whatever, in many ways they are. Yes, as our previous conversation. Mm-hmm. However, I do feel the education system is far worse. And I feel like we were actually encouraged to have critical thinking.
Yeah.
And it was okay to disagree, but you had to do it civilly.
And it's not not the teacher's fault now.
Yeah.
It's the way
that... Oh, it's not the teacher's fault. No, not at all.
It's the way that the legislatures have decided to get
absolutely.
In and do the things that they shouldn't be doing. Kind of like that whole Todd Rokita snitch line.
And they're not educators. They don't know what they're doing at all.
Right.
They're just... They're thinking about their feelings and what they want.
If you need your plumbing repaired, you don't go to a surgeon and say, hey, you've sewed a artery back together. Can you do my plumbing?
Right.
Same thing as if you have a torn artery, you don't go to a plumber. The right people for the right job with the right education.
Right.
That's who you get.
And if you want a babysitter, you don't get a priest, you know?
Right. But anyway, so Kaya put this up, and you were right about the pronunciation of her name.
It's Kaya. I thought so. Yeah. Only because I've known Kaya's before.
And so anyway, she wrote that Teague, quote, thinks parents shouldn't have any say in their kids' education or a say in their kids' education and the community, and not the parent is responsible for children's education. Her post was shared 3,000 plus times and got almost 300,000 views, right? So her posting this picture of him with this critique of, you know, him putting words into his mouth that he wasn't saying.
Right, as always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was on March 4th, which was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. On March 8th, 4 days afterward, obviously, Butler Middle School received its first bomb threat. So now this just adds to the, what was it, 2030-some before? Bomb threats that were enacted upon schools and hospitals because of things that libs of TikTok put up.
Well, riddle us this. If it's so awful that there is a queer teacher or whatever, why is a bomb better, libs of TikTok?
Right, right. Libs of TikTok does not, that I know of, has ever said anything about doing such a thing to schools. It's the people who follow it and their mindset that's dangerous. And they capitalize on that.
That they coerce into following it.
Or, right.
I mean, they create the situation.
But that was just the first one.
They're a hate group.
Three more bomb threats followed on March 11th, 12th, and 14th. And one of them mentioned a school shooting as well. So what are you teaching kids?
Right.
What are you teaching anybody? You know, this is, you're not creating a better environment for children.
What are you doing to society?
Right.
You're not creating a better society.
And maybe if more kids learned these lessons about, you know, acceptance and inclusion and how to work together, maybe they wouldn't grow up to be the kind of people that do this sort of thing.
And that there's nothing wrong with being different.
Right.
And also many ways, whether it's...
Yeah. But, you know, this is, again, this is not the majority. This is not the way that most people think. These are a very militant few who have been whipped into a frenzy such that they will either commit acts of violence or threaten them. Threatening kids, that is terrorism.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I mean,
these are acts of terrorism. You know, if it was anybody else in the world, we would condemn it. But, you know, these are quote unquote our people, right?
Well, you're talking about if it wasn't white people or Christian people.
White Christians, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, if these
because
were Muslim.
America is a white Christian
people.
Nation.
Yeah.
So if these, yeah.
Yeah.
If it was anybody else.
No. According to them, America's a white Christian nation. Yeah.
And so that's another disturbing aspect to it too. Like, what are they defining America as? You know, these are the kind of people that we're going to be. We're sending in bomb threats because somebody wants to teach kids to be kind and good. What's wrong?
And just to accept diversity.
Yeah, which is what America is founded on. Well, okay, it's founded on genocide and slavery, but
we'll go with the dream.
No, I mean, people come here from all over the world, mm-hmm. and they make a life, and they make this a better place, despite people like this. Mm-hmm. And so we are a diverse nation. We have to learn to be that way, and we have to learn to accept that.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, bombs and bomb threats are not acceptable.
No,
what's not acceptable.
It needs to be prosecuted and addressed.
Diversity is acceptable.
As strongly as it is anywhere else. Mm. Meanwhile, in Alabama.
What's going on down there?
Republicans have passed a bill that would limit instruction on so-called divisive concepts. I love how just broad and sweeping.
I know, but it's like divisive to whom?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the problem.
White Christians. And here's the thing. At state universities, while also banning diversity, equality, and inclusion programs, and barring trans students from using bathrooms that align with their gender identity. Yeah. So you can't discuss the thing that they've just done to you because they've made that illegal. But these are at universities. The bill prohibits state agencies, local boards of education, and public institutions of higher learning from sponsoring DEI programming, maintaining DEI departments, and requiring students, employees, and contractors to participate in DEI training. It also bans those entities from requiring, quote, any training, orientation, or coursework that advocates for or requires assent to a divisive concept.
But that is a divisive concept because you're teaching that teaching equality is not okay.
Right.
In a democracy, equality is not okay.
In
Alabama, a place where every man is created equal.
In Alabama, equality is divisive. It is Alabama, however. Yeah. So what do you expect?
Well, so who gets to be on top?
See? And now you're making the jokes.
Well, I wasn't. I didn't mean to make a joke. But I meant, so it's always the white Christians.
It's always white Christians.
Which is fine. If you're a white Christian, that's fine. But leave everybody else alone.
You know.
Or allow everybody else to live it.
White
here, you know?
Christians, cisgender males.
Right.
Heterosexual, cisgender males.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly heterosexual.
Well,
because
watch those toes. If they are, it's happening.
I think adult pub.
Pub. that's good, yes.
Adult pub would say something different about their sexuality, but it was my.
But also in K-12 in Alabama as well, the Don't Say Gay bill is set to be expanded. To all the grades. It was kindergarten through third.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going just like it was in Florida all the way through, which Florida just had, you know, some decent news on that front. They were taken to court, of course.
Right. Yeah.
And so the Don't Say Gay bill, the famous one, the original one in Florida, it was upheld by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals as a law. However, it was more clearly defined. So it took some of that broad implication, like maybe teachers can't have a picture of their partner up in class if they have a same-sex mm-hmm. partner, or can't say, you know, I'm married to somebody of the same sex. This has been clarified. What it does say is that you can say gay, but the law prohibits teachers from making gender and sexuality topics of explicit instruction in the classroom. It doesn't prevent discussion of LGBTQ issues as long as they're not part of official instructional materials. So you can't have like this is how to be gay day or anything like that.
Well, I mean, who has that anyway?
Right. But apparently some
Although
people
every
feel
day
that they
is,
have.
This is how to be straight. Okay? But
right?
Yeah.
discussions of LGBTQ+ people, anti-bullying rules based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and gay-straight alliance groups are all allowed under the new rule.
Well, that's good.
So there is some sort of representation and support mm-hmm. that's allowed, which is fantastic.
It is.
it still only puts us in like 1998, but it's a lot better than it was. Library books that are not being used directly in classroom instructions are also not barred from schools under the law. It's meant to be neutral and applied to heterosexual subject matter as well. So, yay. You know, if you're going to protect kids from those sorts of materials, it would seem that, like, any kind of sexuality would be fair game, right?
Right, of course, yeah.
Teachers and students are allowed to discuss their own identities and identities of others belonging to the LGBTQ plus community as long as it's not part of classroom instruction. So you probably couldn't teach that, for example, that Alexander the Great had a male partner.
Why not?
For his life.
I mean, if that's true.
But it's part of classroom
historical.
Instruction. You could maybe say that he was, you know.
See, that's where I have problems with things.
That might be a gray area.
Yeah.
Because is it instruction? Or is it just talking about
somebody? So it's like if you are talking about somebody who happens to be, say, queer, and you just can't mention their husband or their wife or whatever. Like Pete Buttigieg, you could never talk about Chasen.
Maybe you could.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, that'll have to be worked out. So, fantastic. That's a positive move on those things. And maybe that will ripple out to these other communities. And even Indiana, we, of course, have our own watered-down version.
Of this bill. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, what's happening with that?
Not much yet.
It's just still, it hasn't...
It hasn't really gone into effect and affected people enough that lawsuits are springing up around that kind of instruction or whatever. So we still have to see how that plays out. So it prohibits the library books things there, but it does prohibit the classroom instruction about sexual orientation, gender identity. After third grade conversation, pre-K or pre-third grade, K through third, after third grade conversation should be age appropriate, which is also, that's the way it's been. It requires the parents be notified annually about healthcare services offered at the school with the right to decline any service offered. Ensures that whenever a questionnaire or health screening is given to K-3 students, parents receive it first and provide permission for the school to administer the questionnaire or health screening to their child. So I don't understand what the health screening thing necessarily would be. Maybe it would include gender identity, but K-3, I just don't understand what that...
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
You know, that's that's some good news. You know, it's always sad to go into these... We go back and forth. It's like every show ends up being kind of like a tennis match. Here's one that is kind of sad. Support for LGBTQ rights, including marriage equality, has waned for the first time in nearly a decade.
You mean public support?
Public support, yeah. Yeah. While attitudes among Democrats remain steady across all three measures, Republican opposition to LGBTQ rights, we've seen that.
Although it was sort of surprising before how large that support was, actually.
And how it's grown, because even Republicans are still so much more supportive than they were.
Right.
Based on interviews with more than 22,000 adults through 2023, the survey found a dip in support for LGBTQ plus rights across three categories in the past year: non-discrimination protections, religiously based services refusals, and same-sex marriage. Overall support to protect LGBTQ people from discrimination in housing, employment, and public accommodation dropped from 80% in 2022 to 76% last year. So that's kind of a hit. Which, I mean, who would be really opposed to just protections in those areas, workplace and public accommodations? Like, oh, no, it's okay to discriminate against, you know, if you have a gay employee, you can fire them.
Right. Well, I think that's still the fact in Indiana. You can be fired for being gay here.
You can. Not in certain areas, in certain municipalities. And depending on how that law goes with restriction on local enactment of ordinances, the thing that they keep using is the dog fighting. So you can have puppy mills in the state of Indiana again. They legalized it.
Oh, that's so horrible.
And there are municipalities that want to make it illegal to have puppy mills.
Who wants puppy mills?
What?
Who wants that?
People who sell puppies.
Yeah, but...
And so the law would restrict municipalities from saying, like, Bloomington would say, we don't want puppy mills in Bloomington. You can't have a puppy mill in Bloomington. We set up a local ordinance.
I hope we do that.
Well, if you can't set up a local ordinance because the state has passed a law saying that local municipalities can't pass ordinances that go against state law, that could, you know, does that include LGBTQ protections? Because that's all we have here in Indiana. So would all of these municipalities, Bloomington, Lafayette, Indianapolis, you know, all of these tons of smaller towns too now that have passed protections, would that cover those kinds of laws too? I don't know. We'll see. But opposition to services being allowed or services being allowed to refuse service on religious grounds dropped from 65% in 2022 to 60% in 2023, which, you know, that's disheartening. Among Republicans, that opposition declined to its lowest level, 34%, since 2015. Meanwhile, 67% of respondents supported same-sex marriage, a slight decrease from the previous year when 69% agreed. I still can't believe it's that low, but that's just, you know, I still like to believe that people are good.
Yeah.
Even after all this. Because I do know good people. I know wonderful people.
I know better puppies.
What?
I know better puppies.
Wow. We'll play those songs for you after the show. Speaking of, it's been great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for Blooming Out is brought to you by Blooming Foods Co-op Market, Bloomington's community-owned and cooperative grocery supporting local farms and businesses since 1976. Owned by over 8,000 residents across Monroe County and beyond, Blooming Foods offers local, healthy, sustainable, and environmentally sound products. Blooming Foods East is located at 3220 East 3rd Street by College Mall, and Blooming Foods Near West is located at 316 West 6th Street near the square. Get more information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Blooming Out is a production of WFHB Community Radio and produced by Melanie Davis and Cade Young. Our engineer is Cade Young. For Blooming Out and WFHB, I'm Justin Robertson.
And Alyssa's coming back next week. Yay!
Oh, you guys.
And I'm Melanie Davis. And I can't stress this enough. You are loved. We're here. We're queer and we refuse to live in fear. Be well. Stay safe. Speak truth. Manifest equity. Demand justice. Make good trouble. Love one another. And take the power back. Good night from your Blooming Out family.
Good night.